Welcome to All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.
Welcome back to another edition of All the Smoke. We're coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Jack, what's going on, bro?
ATL, good, baby. Yes, good. Sir.
We out here for a special Blockbuster Showtime pay-per-view event that's going on tomorrow night between Gervonta Davis and Mario Barrios. Big fight tomorrow night. Gervonta's moving up two weight classes. We got an expert in this space here. Jack, introduce him for us.
The great, the honorable Leonard Ellerbe in the building, man. Thanks for being here.
Appreciate y'all brothers for having me on y'all show, man.
Clean as usual. We know you got a busy schedule this weekend. We know you got to be at the weigh-ins and all that stuff, so we appreciate you coming by.
Anytime.
Talk to us how you got in this space.
Man, the blessing. As a youngster, I was an amateur boxer, and I'm coming up.
So you got hands.
A little bit. Coming up in that D.C. area, you know, that's the only way to survive.
Right.
So coming up through the amateurs, got a chance to know Roger, Floyd's uncle.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we were friends for many years. And actually, I used to come back and forth from D.C. to Vegas, and he used to work with me. And he always used to be talking about my nephew. Mm-hmm. So I was in Vegas one year, and Floyd came through, and I think he might have been like 13 years old.
Yeah.
And Floyd was the same way he was until this day. Just, you know, full of joy, just always flashy, flamboyant. Boy. He was that way at 13 years old. Mm-hmm. And then, so we got a chance. He was actually in Vegas for a fight. I think it was a Tyson fight. And we got a chance to meet, and you just had some good dialogue. And like I said, he was a youngster. And then we kept in contact, you know, as I was coming back and forth to Vegas, and when he was getting ready to turn pro, Roger, you know, suggested, hey, won't you come join the team? And it kind of all started there. And that was in like 1996 when he moved from Grand Rapids to Vegas.
Yeah.
So you serve as CEO and financial manager of Floyd. What's that journey and experience been like? I mean, arguably the greatest fighter of all time, unblemished records. So I'm sure there's been a bunch of money rolling in and a bunch of crazy experiences. Talk to us about some of that.
Man, it's been an incredible journey. Again, but I didn't do it by myself. I had a wonderful team. Still had that same team. And I have a great partner in Al Haymon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's made the transition very, very smooth. Al's one of the most smartest guys in the entire world, Harvard graduate, you know, and so we work closely hand in hand, day by day. Again, you know, managing an incredible portfolio like Floyd Mayweather, you know, it's just, again, it's a tremendous task. But, you know, we up for it. It's been a tremendous sacrifice, but it's been an incredible journey.
Right. You're credited with helping fighters keep more of the proceeds than they were able to do in the past. Where did that business acumen come in? Because that's one thing to me. I mean, the big guys get a bunch, but just as far as everybody kind of eating, you've been instrumental in guys being able to get more than they normally did.
Yeah, that's one of me and Al's motto has been from day one is that the fighters deserve the lion's share of the money because, you know, for so long there have been two guys in the business who controlled the entire playing field. That was Bob Arum and Don King. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of fighters got taken advantage of, you know, and that's not my opinion. That's what,
just
you know,
facts.
They've said. And so we had the philosophy that we wanted to change the entire mindset, you know, let the fighters, because the fighters are the one that's going out there risking their lives and putting everything on the line. So they deserve the lion's share of the money. And that's kind of where it all started. And you see now that, especially like in Al's case, you know, we work hand in hand with a number of great fighters in the industry and everybody's happy, you know, because they have a tremendous platform and they're making the most money that they've ever made. Mm-hmm. And again, they have people who are behind them who are instrumental in guiding their career, you know, so the whole objective, like a guy like Errol Spence, for an example, is that you go out there and you fight the biggest and best fights, but you have to think big picture post-boxing.
Right.
You know, and that's what Floyd has been, he has definitely been the leader by
the pioneer of that
because we put him in a position where, again, not only did he make over $1 billion in the sport, but he has 9 figures in the bank. He gets a 7-figure check every month for the rest of his life.
And he still looked, you know what I'm saying, unscathed. Still
yeah, pretty he was able to go 50-0 and have an illustrious career and be able to walk away with all his faculties mm-hmm. at a young age, you know, 42 years old, mm-hmm. you know, and he has the ability to go off and do anything that he wants to do.
It's the blueprint, again, for sure.
Yeah, and everything is paid for. Mm-hmm. Everything is paid for.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
So tell me this, Mayweather Promotions, looking back at when y'all was starting and where it is today, what was the vision?
The vision was, it was Floyd's vision. He wanted to be his own boss. Hmm. Going to be his own boss, and he's always talked like that from day one, mm-hmm. you know, because he had saw so many fighters who had paved the way before him that had gotten taken advantage yeah. of, you know, so he didn't want to do that. You know, he wanted to surround himself with smart people hmm. and be able to make good, sound decisions and set himself up for, you know, post-boxing smart. Where he didn't want to end up in a situation like fighters before him
yeah. mm-hmm. that, you know, so had, many of them,
they had given their entire lives to the fans, you know, but then they didn't have anything to show for it right. after their careers were over. Mm-hmm. And most of them were not able to, you know, speak, you know, and, right. and then again, their brains all, you know, yeah, it's been so unfortunate. And he wanted to be able to set a positive example for the younger generation mm-hmm. that, you know, hey, you can come into this sport, surround yourself with a good team, and be positive, and then set yourself up for the rest of your life.
Leave with your mind intact.
Yes.
Right. Transferring to Tank Davis, who was a guest of ours during the quarantine.
Has Baby Gorilla.
Definitely come a long way since his 2017 splash on the scene. Talk to us about some of his ups and downs and the maturity you've seen in him, not only as a fighter, but as a man as well.
That's a great question, Matt. You know, when Tank first, he first got signed to us, you know, being from the Baltimore area, I'm from D.C., so I know the things that he's experienced and coming from the background that he's come from. And, you know, you oftentimes you're a product of your environment because
yes.
that's all that you know.
Right.
And so our goal and vision was to remove him from that situation, him and his family, especially his mom, mm-hmm. you know, as they was building a close bond. You know, together. They had been through so many things as a kid, you know, when he was a youngster, him and his brothers, and be able to remove him out of that situation and show him a different side of life. Mm-hmm. And that was Floyd's sole objective, is to remove him out of that environment because he was such a tremendous talent. And being in that environment, all you're gonna be is subjected to the same kind of things yeah. because the people are still doing the same things.
All they know.
You guys see that.
Yep.
He was telling us how, you know, he people he was boxing with growing up were dropping like flies. His friends were dying. Everyone yep. around
and
him was
And it's still
dying.
Been happening.
Right.
It's still been
right,
happening.
Don't stop.
Yeah, and I'm so proud of him because, again, you know, he's made, definitely over the last couple years, last 2 years, you know, he's had some missteps along the way.
We
just
all
like
have.
any right. young, right. any young athlete.
That comes into all his money, yeah.
You know, has this instant stardom and then making millions of dollars, and so they don't make good, sound decisions. But I can honestly say Floyd has been a great, great role model mm-hmm. in that aspect for him because mm-hmm. he's actually been in those similar situations,
right.
you know, and gone through that as being a young fighter.
Teaching from
he
experience.
He made some mistakes along the way, mm-hmm. but he learned from those mistakes, and he learned at the right time. He got it all together at the right time where he was able to take control of his entire career, mm-hmm. you know, before he had messed up really bad. Mm-hmm. And that's what we've been able to do with Tank. And Floyd has shown him, because he's been through those similar things, like, look, this is how you deal with this. Don't put yourself in this situation because this is gonna lead to
right.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Watch the women, watch this and that, because mm-hmm. you know, keep the people who are down with you, your day ones, as close as possible. But you're gonna lose people along the way.
Yep.
You know, loyalty is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the great bond that me and Floyd established because, you know, coming up, you know, it was all about, I was focused. You know, I was still young myself, but, you know, I was working 20 hour days, 7 days a week for 15 years straight.
Getting to it.
You know, our objective was getting to the finish line, mm-hmm. you know, and we were focused on, you know, the goal at hand, and that was being in control of his own career, making good decisions, you know, and taking it from there, setting a positive example for all these other fighters.
I'm a big time boxing fan, and I said this after Tank last fight, and I impressed him with the knockout. I said, now you see, when you take him out of that environment and he lock in to training and away from all the nonsense, how great he can be. And I had to say that because a lot of people didn't know what Tank had been through, but I knew the shift he had made because I could tell how he prepared for the fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I seen it. And I said that on Instagram. I said, when you take him out of the environment, you put him around the right people and the right training, this kid going to be real scary, man.
Jack,
we was able to see that.
You couldn't have said that any better. And that's why we've been very impressed with him, because Floyd's, you know, goal was to get him out of that environment and show that you could come to Vegas, you could lock in with your team, because this is all what it's about, is the preparation, mm-hmm. the mental preparation, you know, to get ready for these big fights. Mm-hmm. And this is how you handle the pressure. This is how you handle the media. You know, you have zero distractions out here in Las Vegas. And now when it's time to go to war, you can go handle your business.
I think, yeah. Yeah.
Talk to me, because I think you said something very interesting, and I know as former athletes, we know this too. The fight is kind of the prize, but there's so much mental that goes into it. How much would you say is mental? We think it, I mean, once you get to the NBA, we kind of feel like it's 90% mental to be able to avoid and stay away from all the distractions, to focus on the task at hand. Would you say it's similar in boxing?
Matt, I would say the same thing, about 90%. About 90%. You know, and that's, you know, when you got a guy like Floyd who's leading by example, and that's how he's always been.
He always keep his composure. That's what impressed me.
The mental makeup of him is just, I've never seen nothing like that. That dude is able to focus under any circumstances. And he when it comes to his job, he takes his job very, very seriously. Mm-hmm. You know, when it comes to family, friends, he like, nope. Right. Y'all get at the L. I got to focus on my job because this is how we eat, mm-hmm. you know, and that's kind of, he's always led by example. Mm-hmm. And he's done a tremendous job with guiding Tank in that way.
Right.
You know, and that's why it's like that bond that those two have is just.
And that's what's so impressive about Floyd, especially in a day and age where there's just so many distractions and so many people get, once they get to the top, they get tired of it, or they want to find something, or they want to rap, or they want to play basketball, mm-hmm. or they want to do some other shit. That was the one thing that impressed me with Floyd, was just his mental discipline and focus to be the greatest the whole entire time, period.
Still.
Period, right, period.
And it's so crazy that y'all mentioned that, because there have been times where, you know, like especially early on, you know, when he first got his big check, you know, especially the very first pay-per-view fight, like after the Oscar fight. And I can recall this on Saturday night, you know, he gets the check and it's time to go to the bank on Monday morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mostly everybody's thinking, oh, we're getting ready to go on vacation. But he's like, we ain't going nowhere. Mm. What are you talking about? We going to the gym. Mm. And that's been his whole mindset. After hundreds of millions of dollars, you know, he's the one that, again, he always stayed locked in. Like and his work ethic has always shown that, again, no matter how much that he's made, he always trained and thought like he was broke.
Yeah.
And it always kept him hungry,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Love it. The last Tank fight, Aleel Santa Cruz fight. What was your thinking going into that fight? It was a big fight for him. And what was your thinking going into that fight for him?
It was a huge fight. It was Tank's first pay-per-view fight. He's fighting a tremendous champion in Leo Santa Cruz, a four-division world champion. And you hear the critics out there saying he was too small and mm-hmm. he was that. But that's just because, you know, jealousy plays a big role in like everything. Everything, you know, we knew it was.
People hate what they can't be.
There you go.
Or they project their fears on you. Like, I'm worried about this, so let me try to make you. Like, no, it's not that big.
You know, and we knew that was a pathway that would lead to, you know, him, Tank, establishing himself as a pay-per-view star. You know, he still has a ways to go, but mm-hmm. it was a great segue because, again, Leo Santa Cruz was a four-division world mm-hmm. champion and recognized in all of boxing as an excellent fighter, and we knew that he was gonna put his country on his back, and he was coming to bring it.
Yeah.
He was coming to bring it. And he showed you that. It was a terrific fight, you know, with a lot of back and forth the first few rounds, and then Tank to set him up and hit him with the big shot that obviously went viral. You know?
That was special. That uppercut, bro.
Man.
We posted, that was the one where they posted, right?
Yeah.
They had us film ourselves kind of watching the fight. And when the knockout happened, it was incredible.
Incredible.
Everybody was commenting on that. Bron, everybody. Magic, everybody. Mm-hmm. Everybody.
But that's what you want to see in boxing. Like, you don't see too much of that, especially from a smaller guy, you know, with so much power. You know, everybody was like, what's Tank Davis? Tank Davis. But y'all don't know the Tank Davis we know. And the power that he showed that fight to get that knockout. You know, people want to see knockouts. You don't see that much these days, not even in heavyweights.
That's exactly why, Jack, that he's the most exciting fighter in the entire sport.
Right.
You know, because he has the ability to connect with this younger generation. And that's why, in his case, that, you know, he's been through a lot of the things that most of our culture understands.
Yes.
You know, so he's a very, very relatable person.
That's why
they gravitate to him. Mm-hmm. They come from everywhere to support this kid. Mm-hmm. And again, he has a style, you know, in today's generation, everything is like right now. Mm-hmm. And he has that style where he gives the fans exactly what they want to see. And being involved in pay-per-view, and people are paying their money. That's what they want to see. Mm-hmm. And he gives them excitement.
Right.
You know, just like, and I'm not comparing the two, just like Mike Tyson was when he was much younger.
Yeah, he's a baby Tyson. When I first started watching,
that's what I love about Tank, is that, you know, when he steps up in that ring, he ain't going to play with it. He ain't going to play with it. He ain't going to feel you out. You know, he's coming there to knock your head all the way off.
I was at his last fight here in Atlanta, and I'm glad y'all came back. When he fought Gamboa, was it Gamboa?
Gamboa.
Man, and I'm talking about the stars came out. You was here. The baby brought him out in the star. You know, I was right at the ringside, and it wasn't the best performance, but everybody came out to support him. And it ain't like that in Atlanta. You have to be somebody in Atlanta for everybody to pull up and support you. Tank has Atlanta, and I'm glad y'all brought him back for this big fight, man, because the city loved him.
Yeah, and they showed us so much love. That's exactly why, you know, Floyd and Tank wanted to come back down here. Mm-hmm. Because, again, when we came down here in 2019, Atlanta hadn't had a big fight in well over 20-something years in Holyfield. You know, so it was a great honor to come down here and do it in front of our culture. You know, and the energy in the building was just stupid. It was just stupid.
I almost got into it with somebody that night. I was so hyped.
We in Black Hollywood, man. Yes, we out here in Black Hollywood. What should we expect this weekend? What kind of problems does Barrios pose outside of the size advantage?
Well, the size advantage
means a lot.
It does mean a lot. And, you know, especially like if you saw them at the press conference or you seen any of the pictures with them standing, you know, next to each other. You know,
That shit reminds me of Tyson, though. Remember, Tyson always had to look up at his people, too. Like, Tyson was a little monster, too.
Barrios is 6 inches taller. Mm-hmm. He has a much longer reach. He has very good speed, mm-hmm. and he has excellent power, and he's the much bigger fighter. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's a very dangerous fight, and that's why Tank, you know, he understands that it's a tremendous challenge, but, you know, that's what defining his legacy is all about. And there's no other fighter out there that can do what he's doing right now. Mm-hmm. You know, here it is that his last fight against Santa Cruz was at 130 pounds, and he's moving up two weight classes.
That's a lot.
Two weight classes. You know, that's just kind of like...
You can actually walk around at that weight, though, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, but what it's allowed him to do is to show this younger generation that you can put your mind doing anything, and, you know, he wants to be different and set a good example, because there was a lot of criticism from the haters out there, that Santa Cruz was, you know, much smaller.
Right.
So then he says, okay, well, let me go up two weight classes.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, so you got to give him his props if he's able to pull it off on Saturday night. It should be a tremendous fight, though. Tremendous fight.
Stack card, co-main event with Lubin and Rosario, who both, took tough L's to Charlo, trying to get back on track. Thoughts about that?
I like Lubin.
Yeah, I love Lubin. This kid is talking about hungry.
Humble, too.
Yes. You know, he's working with Kevin Cunningham, who's one of the top trainers in the business, and has been for many years. They've been working down. They down in Florida, and every time you look up, they just grinding and grinding. So Lubin's on a mission to get back. Well, not he's never been champion at 54, but he's looking to, you know, make his mark. And and with a victory over Rosario on Saturday, he's looking to make a big statement.
Yes.
Because he wants the opportunity to potentially get back in there with Jermell if he's able to get, you know, past his next fight. Mm-hmm. You know, but that's a tremendous fight. And Rosario, you know, he's Dominican. You know, he's had a great camp. And he had, you know, obviously he's coming off the L to Jermell.
Yep.
And so he's looking to, you know, get back. You know, he said that, you know, he went through some things in his last camp. And so that's a tremendous fight. That's a main event.
Right.
Any by other itself.
Night. Yeah. Any other night.
By right. itself. So right. mm-hmm. the fans, as far as getting the bang for the buck this weekend, mm-hmm. we got a tremendous card from top to bottom.
Everyone's goal is to be undefeated like Floyd. Obviously, these two fighters are coming off losses. How tough is that mentally, physically, to shake off knockouts like that and be able to come back and still put your best foot forward?
Well, that's a tremendous challenge, obviously, but the truth, as you guys know, everybody can't be undefeated.
No, right.
It's just not realistic. It's not realistic. Mm-hmm. You know, fortunately for Floyd, he was different. He was different. You know, that's his whole focus, you know, was to be the best.
Period.
He wanted to fight the best, and he put in that work. Mm-hmm. And he led by example, by the hard work and dedication. And this younger generation, they cut a little different.
Yeah.
Cut a little different.
Take shortcuts too. Yeah, shortcuts.
That man never drank, never smoked a day in his life. He would take his family to the club. Mm-hmm. He'd buy all the bottles.
Yeah.
He spent $50,000 at the club on you know, table and buy.
All he drink is cranberry juice.
That's it. That's it all night long. All night long. All night long.
Let me know if this is true. Al Harrington, you know, that's my brother.
Yeah.
Al used to live in Vegas.
Yeah, he sure did.
Al said he walked in the club one time and he saw Floyd, and Floyd had on headphones. And he's like, why does he got on headphones in the club? He said he asked Floyd what he listened to, and he said he took one of them out and put in his ear, and Al said it was left, right, left, left, right, left, right, left, left, right. Like something had to do with boxing. Al was like, I couldn't believe that all these people in the club staring at him and he's listening to boxing moves or punches in his headphones. Do we do that actually?
Man, Floyd is a different dude. That's why he's a genius.
Yeah.
That's why he is a genius. I mean, I have so much great respect for that brother, you know, because he's on the next level. He's always consistently thought outside the box.
Yeah.
And always been three or four steps ahead of everybody.
Marching to the beat of his own drum.
Yeah, marching to the own beat. I mean, and it's just amazing, just even coming off our last event, here it is, he was able to do 1,000,000 buys as a retired fighter. And that hadn't been done. Last time anybody did anything close to 1,000,000 buys, well, obviously Tyson and Roy Jones just did it, you know, in there. But obviously those are two Hall of Fame legends.
Right, right.
But the actual active fighters in the sport, mm-mm. Last time that was done was in 2017. Oh, that was Floyd Mayweather did it again. Man, this dude is cold, man. Right. This dude is cold. He did over 1,000,000 buys fighting a YouTuber.
That's crazy. Mm. That's crazy.
Crazy.
That's crazy.
And that's why we get all calls from all these, you know, guys, you know, we built relationships in football, basketball, everywhere. It's like, man, how does this dude do this? And he's able to still stay relevant. He decided to go get a bag. You know, go somewhere and sit down for a second.
Get a bag.
Go get another bag.
Big bag. My father putting them cars in his deal. I got to start putting them in my deal, man. Buy me a car. Put that in my deal.
Thinking outside the box, obviously this last event that was just in Miami between Paul and Floyd and the energy around it, again, the money around it, the ability to still draw people at this point in his career, being removed and retired. Thoughts on just the whole experience from your guys' side of your camp, and is he done, or could it possibly happen again? I mean, he's coming out here and getting $100 million for 30 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? I mean, if he wants to go out and do something along those lines, I want to make that clear. He's definitely retired from fighting any of these young cats, these active
fighters. He's going to die 50-0.
Yeah. Is there, because he has nothing to prove.
Right.
He's proven everything. He's beat everybody in this generation and the generation before, and he's been the top dog and made all the money, got the bankroll and left the game. You know, but what he's been able to do is stay relevant through social media, you know, and he's just still hungry. Mm-hmm. He's just still hungry. If he see an opportunity out there to generate some revenue, even though he's set beyond generations,
right?
You know, he's still, and he, and what I love about him, he takes care of so many people.
Yeah, we know.
So many people. Mm-hmm. And it's just, you know, he don't say much, and he has a tremendous heart.
Yeah.
That I think that's one of his greatest attributes. Yeah, that this dude's heart is just, it's bigger than life.
A good friend of mine, International Red, Anzel.
He
brought Red on, you know what I'm saying? And Red is one of the most solid people I know in my life. So that's when I knew Floyd was a good judge of character. Because Red has been around a long time. I'm from Port Arthur. He manages Bun B as well.
Yep, sure does.
You know
what
I mean? And when Floyd brought him aboard y'all company, I knew. I said, now this says a lot. This says a lot to me for Floyd, because Red is one of the people I respect more than anybody. So that said a lot to me about Floyd.
He has put so many people on, and so many people have come and gone. He's looked out for so many people. So many people. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, again, he's made a tremendous impact on this generation, you know, with setting a good example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any difference between Floyd the fighter and Floyd the businessman? He approaches it the same, or is there any difference?
No, it's pretty much the same. I mean, he's a beast with it, man. Yeah. And it's like, he's just, again, he's consistently thinking outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll call you up early in the morning. It's like, yo, I'm going to go take this meeting. And I just got to run over to Dubai. But, you know, they're going to pay me $1.5 million just to take the meeting. You know, I got to go do it.
What?
I got to go do it.
Got to go do that.
Just to take a meeting.
Yeah, I'm there. I take it all that meeting.
Line my whole calendar every week. Up. Fuck that every day.
He's learned how to shake hands with the right people, and he's built so many friends, you know, over the years.
Relationships.
It's everything.
Right.
Everything.
Absolutely.
What's your thoughts on athletes from other sports stepping in the ring? You know, Ocho Cinco stepped in the ring a couple weeks ago, and, you know, he had no regrets. Nate Robinson. Does it hurt the sport of boxing to you?
Not at all.
Not at all.
Because I admire guys who continually to look for ways to elevate themselves.
Right.
And with Chad, he's a great example. Good friend of mine. I've been knowing him for years. And what he used to do when he was playing football, he used to come out to Vegas once in a while, and he used to spar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he always had an affinity for the love of the sport, and he wanted to stay connected to the sport. And so the opportunity came. When Floyd told me he wanted to do this exhibition with Logan, we wanted to be creative and bring something else, you know, to the table, you know, another type of exhibition. And then I reached out to Chad, and I was like, offered him the opportunity. He was like, heck yeah.
Let's do it, man.
I was so proud of him, outside of getting knocked,
to me, he won the majority of the rounds outside of the round.
And he was all balanced when that happened.
Yeah.
You know, but he had fun with it. It was a great opportunity. And actually, we just spoke yesterday. He's like, yo, hit me up.
When we fight again.
I'm with it.
Yeah.
Because he stay in great shape.
Stay in great shape.
Eating McDonald's good dude. Good dude.
Solid brother. Solid brother.
April 5th, 2013.
My birthday.
Okay, that's right. You made your debut on Instagram, posting a picture saying Floyd made me do it. Talk to me about that, but then also what you've learned of the power of social media since then through promotions and just kind of showing the world what's going on.
That's a great question, Matt. Because, you know, early on, I, obviously from the business aspect, you know, me and Al are locked into so many different things, you know, on a day-to-day basis. So when social media kind of evolved, you know, being a little old school and they called me the old head, you know, I didn't initially kind of wasn't receptive to it. And then, you know, Floyd was like, yo, L, you got to get up on this, man, because this is the way, it's the way of the world, what the culture is all about now and how we're going to be able to market and do our stuff. So I was like, and then so from the aspect of when he was getting ready, I think, for a fight or something, And so when you're interacting, you know, you see stuff and the fans are responding to something. So I found myself getting into it with the fans. Mm-hmm. And Floyd was like, nah, we don't do that, man. He's like, look, it's like this. He says, why are you gonna sit there and argue with somebody you don't know?
Right.
And who actually has no impact on anything that we're getting ready to do. He says, after the fight, on Monday morning when we go to the bank, who's going with us?
Right, none of them.
He said, so why does that matter with anything that anybody's saying? He said, let them say whatever they want to about me. Because, you know, I would always get pissed off because they saying things that, you know, obviously aren't true.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I'm defending him. He said, don't worry about that.
Can't eat comments.
He said, we don't care about nothing they say. Nothing nobody say. We in our own lane, doing our own thing, and we're going to keep on getting money.
Nothing stops.
And that's what it was. And mm-hmm. So that was one of the tough lessons that, you know, I had to learn early on about social media, you know, but my team actually
I'm still learning that shit. Yeah.
My team actually does a great job with our platform. They're the ones that do everything. I'm not as active, you know, especially on Instagram, because mm-hmm. I'm too busy.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, I'm focused on the business, and, mm-hmm. you know, we got so many things.
You don't need to post a number of pictures of you clean anyway. That's all you need to do. Let them know how clean you is every day.
Soon as the day.
Yeah, that's it. What you attribute your style to? Just you being you?
Yeah. It was something, you know, growing up as a youngster. You know, D.C. is just all about that swag, the men and the women,
mm-hmm.
you know. So a couple old heads, you know, coming up, it was like, you know, dressing was everything.
Yeah.
You know, looking good, smelling good, keeping yourself groomed, well groomed, yeah. you know, and you're able to get in a lot of doors that way. People, you know, they respect you and look at you a little differently,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've always taken great pride in that, you know, how you present yourself and, you know, so it's been a thing from ever since I was a kid. I took great pride in how I looked,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether it was elementary, junior high, high school, college, whatever.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's what, you know, Deion Sanders got a saying, you look good, you play good, they pay good.
And that's a fact.
That's it.
You know, here it is. I'm representing the biggest guy ever in our sport. So, yeah. you know, mm-hmm. I'm representing the brand.
Right.
You know?
Right. You represent it well.
I know you're real close to Dame Lillard. He's a big boxing fan. You mentioned how Ocho used to train when he played. I used boxing as a training tool during my basketball career. Thoughts on the evolution of kind of other athletes using boxing as a tool to prepare for their other sports?
Man, another great question, man. Dame is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
I have such great admiration for that brother. I mean, because what he's been able to do is get better and better each and every year and add more and more to his game. And so he's taking boxing as a tool, uses it as a tool to extend his range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, throwing a lot of punches until your arms get tired. So he's able to obviously go further and further back, mm-hmm. you know, with just shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, obviously the range of motion just, mm-hmm. and it's just automatic.
Like
and his arms never get tired and it's like it's automatic. And that's why, I mean, that dude, he's so locked in.
Mm-hmm.
It's so impressive. And he's like the biggest boxing fan. Mm-hmm. He could actually be a commentator.
Yeah.
And when I say he know his stuff, I mean, he be hitting me up, I hit him up, and we talk about this. We talk all the time, like almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, almost like every day.
I remember when he was in the bar in Miami, he was trying to get him to come out that day.
Yeah.
Face. I'm like, just fly out. Come on, come fuck with us.
I talked to him last night. He was telling me that he wouldn't be able to make it because he's in Mexico and, you know, all of that stuff.
Same solid.
So before we get to these quick hitters, you've been blessed to be around the greatest boxer of all time. You got someone else coming through the pipeline in Tank Davis. What is it, you've talked about them, what has this ride and experience been like for you personally?
It's been an incredible ride. I mean, you know, now, since over the pandemic, I've actually had an opportunity to kind of just sit back a little bit and just kind of watch a little bit of our journey, you know, because I've just been so locked in, still really locked in. But now, you know, with Floyd, you know, he's retired now. I don't have to work 20 hours a day.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I have a tremendous team. And so I'm able to just kind of really appreciate things much better. And then I actually have a different look, you know, especially like a lot of things we went through And a lot of things I didn't know and see because you just be so locked in.
Right.
In the moment,
yes. Right?
You don't get a chance to appreciate a lot of different things.
That was gonna be my next question.
It's like,
yeah.
Wow, like we've done a lot.
A lot.
You know, and I look back on it and it's just like, cause we started, when I say we started at the bottom, I mean, I can remember us driving from Las Vegas cross country to Grand Rapids, handing out flyers, you know, grassroots kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, telling, you know, people to watch his fight on ESPN, you know, and that's just kind of how it all started. And this dude, people thought he was going to the clubs, you know, the
party and turn up. And
but see, he was just keeping his face out there and staying close to the streets where people felt comfortable with him. Like, okay, that's a cool
people's champ.
Yeah, and he's out here in our environment. You know, we could go anywhere in New York, anywhere, in the streets, anywhere. And he was always respected. You know, so it's been a great opportunity to kind of look back and, you know, over these last 24 years and just have a greater appreciation. It's just truly a blessing to be in this, you know, position.
Yeah, see, that's what I was wondering, because as athletes, sometimes being so caught up in the moment, you never appreciate the actual accomplishments at each step.
That's
you
so
know
true,
what I mean?
Man.
And you see it now, too, as someone that was right next to him, just kind of understanding the significance of the history you guys made during the process. So now you kind of get to look back on it now, like, damn, we really did some shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, this dude was actually like the highest paid athlete in sports.
Right.
Not just boxing, in sports for a number of years. And I used to get the calls. He got the calls, Bron, Tom Brady, every top player in each sport was like, man, what are y'all doing? Mm-hmm. You know, because, you know, ball players got to, you know, get a big contract, 4, 5 years to get 100-some million. And Floyd going out there and get it in one night.
One night. One night, twice a year.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just like,
right. And then go get 100 in an exhibition fight.
Yeah, yeah. Fun. Yeah, exactly.
He ain't playing fair. Quick hitters, man. First thing to come to your mind, let us know. Who do you have? Who do you like in the finals?
Atlanta.
Nice. Nice.
We were just talking about that before. Trey Young is out here doing his thing, man.
He is doing his thing, man. And got to give, you know, credit, obviously, to the coach.
Yeah,
Nate McMillan, he's doing, you know, and they got a good, solid young team, and man,
not
very
of
proud
moment.
Of them. Very, very proud of
Thank
them.
Scared the moment.
Yeah,
great job
good core.
Rank your top three Floyd fights of all time.
Oscar De La Hoya, Canelo, and Arturo Gatti.
You know what I thought you was gonna say?
Who?
Sugar Shane. Because Sugar Shane rocked him and Floyd flawlessly beat him after that. Floyd, oh, no. Nah.
Yeah, he walked him down. But see, Shane cut a little differently. He actually thought that he was much stronger than Floyd and all of that.
Played
but
himself.
But see, Floyd is a different kind of beast. He's like, you know, he looked one way, but it's different when you get up in there. Floyd's a dog. he's a dog. And when he got caught with that big shot, that's what I've seen in the gym. Not get hit with a shot, but like how he's aggressive like that. He walks the guy down and he talking to him.
That's what I love. I got so much respect for him because he was rocked and he wasn't the type when he get rocked, okay, I'm gonna run. He got rocked and got right and went back to the middle of the ring and stood there. Come on, come back
right.
And walked him down the rest of the fight.
And was talking to him
the whole time.
Now what you gonna do?
I remember.
What you gonna do now?
Yeah.
Outside of Floyd, if you could sit ringside, go back in history and sit ringside to any fight, what fight would it be?
Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler.
Ooh. Of course.
Boys have
some words. Of course. First word that comes to mind when I say these names. Floyd Mayweather.
Genius.
Gervonta Davis.
Beast.
Calvin Ford.
Excellent trainer.
Leonard Ellerby.
Low key.
Nice. Yeah, low key and out the way. Yes, sir.
Stand out the way.
In your opinion, top five boxers of all time?
Floyd Mayweather, Sugar Ray Robinson, Muhammad Ali, Pernell Whitaker.
Sweet tea.
You know they're going to hold you to it, too. They're going to hold you to this.
Ooh, that's a good one. Who would that last one be?
The last spot.
Evander Holyfield.
Yeah.
Respect.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, Evander was solid.
One of my favorite fighters.
Last and final question. If you could have one guest on All the Smoke, who would it be and why? And
I already know who I want.
Yeah, we already know who we want. But whoever your answer is, you have to help us get him, get that person on the show.
Whew. Floyd Mayweather.
Yes, thank you. That's what we wanted to hear. That's what we wanted to hear. Yes.
We're going
to
make it happen.
We're going to make that happen, man. We need the money, man. We're
going to make that happen.
He's going to rub off on us. We're going to get some more money. Floyd, come up here, man.
We're going to make that happen. That's real talk.
Money might just follow him in here. It might just fall in my pocket, man.
We're going to make that happen.
Hey, man. Well, L, we appreciate your time. We know you're busy, man. Thank you for sharing your time with us, sharing your stories. Look forward to more of your greatness.
And, we'll be ringside rooting for Javonte.
Yeah, we'll be out there tomorrow.
And man, I just want to say I appreciate both of y'all brothers, man. Okay. Y'all are doing y'all thing, man, and y'all leading by example for the entire culture. Everything y'all talk about, from politics to sports, I mean, everything. I love what y'all are doing, man.
Appreciate
Keep doing
that.
Y'all thing.
Appreciate
so
that.
Proud
Thank
of y'all,
you.
Man.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's a wrap. Special edition, Leonard Ellaby. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow night. Showtime pay-per-view for the big Javonte Davis fight. See y'all next week.
Peace.
This is All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio in partnership with Showtime.